Hello, one and all, to another episode of Deep Lore. People going missing are a surprisingly common occurrence, sadly. The strange ability to just disappear without a trace, even when you're well known to the people in the town or the city, is scary to think of. But there are certain areas of land that have a disproportionate amount of people going missing, and that is national parks. It could be because of the sheer size of them, or it could be the lack of permanent buildings, meaning people end up being exposed to the elements. Today, we're going to be talking about one theory that was proposed to explain why so many people seem to go missing in such suspicious circumstances. The theory of berry bushes. So, as far as I can see, this theory was proposed by just one person. However, it was seemingly popular by the people that read it, and that would explain how it ended up being on the iceberg. It was first put forward on the subreddit Missing411. This subreddit aims to be a space to discuss people who have went missing in national parks and the theories behind it. They actually even encourage people sharing ideas that would typically be classed as schizo, stuff like wild men, black magic, and portals opening up. About 4 years ago, a post was made by a now-deleted account sharing their theory of berry bushes. The theory itself is solely based on a post, so most of this video will just be highlighting points from it. OP begins by setting out the theory, stating that what if the majority of missing persons go missing from being affected by an unknown plant or berry bush with a seemingly mind-altering ability? He refers back to cases where people have been found after going missing, either alive or dead, in a position that should not be possible for them to have achieved. For example, a hiker that has significant problems in his past with breathing difficulties due to asthma, but was able to be found without shoes a great distance away from where he started, at a significantly higher altitude than he intended to go. Something like that would be highly unlikely to happen without external aid. OP also describes cases of children that were found miles away from where they first went missing, in a really bad shape from cuts and bruises, purely just from running over rocks and through spiked bushes without a care. He also described cases that people have essentially run themselves to death, so much that the soles of their feet were destroyed and the foot bone was visible. All this to say, there must be something that triggers some sort of primal response, something that releases huge amounts of adrenaline, other than the fear of being lost. He begins to address the typical signs that people who have eventually been found in national parks tend to have. This includes being found with very little clothes on, and time gaps in their memory that could last days on end. OP then states the core of his theory, pollen. The bushes and plants would primarily affect the hiker by releasing pollen, which is then in turn inhaled by the victim. He explains the pollen could make the hiker feel unwell or sick, which could invoke hallucinations and make the victim's body temperature raise, forcing them to remove their clothes to fight the fever. Maybe the stories that people share of Bigfoot and other cryptids in National Park were merely an hallucination caused by inhalation of the pollen. He links his theory to even more typical situations that people go missing in, specifically focusing on the significantly higher chances during heavy storms and rainfall. OP believes that maybe more people are victims of the pollen during these conditions, because the plants actually release more during that time. Perhaps the plant could detect the strong winds and know it would be the optimal time to release to have the greatest odds of pollinating or perhaps reseeding somewhere else. Or perhaps the pollen itself is only lightly attached and the gust of wind is enough to release it, much like a dandelion. He even infers that maybe once the plant is inhaled and the victim dies, the seeds may begin to take root in the corpse and a new plant is grown from the body. OP describes that the pollen could also play a part in hindering tracker dogs. The natural animal instinct of the dogs might know that the pollen is dangerous, and they refuse to follow the scent of it. Maybe the pollen is so strong it can mask the scent of the person. It's not uncommon for national parks to have somewhat sinister names. For example, Devil's Peak. Could these locations get their name as a result of the pollen? Not in any supernatural way, but what if the first that discovered the area were affected by the pollen and had visions of devils and demons, which led them to name it? That is essentially the theory, and just because it is a theory, there is very little evidence for its truthfulness. Sure, the situations that the hiker are found in would make sense with Opie's theory, but really any other theory could be used to link the statistics together. It should be noted that when this theory was created, it was never used with the intent to brush all missing persons away with it. People would still go missing by the usual unfortunate situations, such as abductions by humans or otherwise, or just getting lost. But this could explain the handful of cases that appeared to be so bizarre and have no reason behind them. The comments were very mixed in the post, but a lot of people liked the idea. People refuted it by saying, "How have we not discovered it yet?" which was quickly shut down by the plant maybe only blooming once every couple of years like some other plants do, and maybe we haven't seen it in its blooming cycle. It's definitely an interesting theory. There are still a whole host of plants that we haven't discovered yet, and there are plants that are able to directly impact and change a person's behaviour. Even if we look at highs that are used for recreational purposes like mushrooms and peyote, they can and are used for the ability to cause hallucinations and can cause people to act irrational. If there's one thing to take away from this somewhat brief episode, it's number one, don't go out hiking alone, and two, never trust any strange plants you might see while you're out there. Thank you for watching this episode of Deep Lore. Hopefully, it's left you wanting to view more content. Please leave a like if you enjoyed it, and subscribe if you haven't done so yet. I would appreciate it if you could share it with your friends. After all, why leave the comfort of the VCR when we're only at the tip of the iceberg? There are still plenty more video cassettes left to watch.